Cool. Well, let's get in this today, because today we're talking about the house of God. And it's kind of funny because, you know, if you look at it, you know, I mean, it's really a really simple concept. I mean, think about it. You know, everybody has a home. You know, I mean, everybody. I mean, very rarely. I mean, even if you saw that one movie with Tom Hanks, Terminal, I think it was called, where he lived in the airport. Yeah, that was, it was kind of weird. It kind of a nightmare to me. But the airport was his home, you know? You may not have a house, but you have a home. You know, I remember we did a mission trip over to L.A. Years ago, back years ago. You know, even when we were talking to homeless people, you know, they lived in the park. And, you know, so the craziest thing is, that I remember they showed, you know, they showed one of our groups where they lived, and this homeless person lived underneath, in like a tunnel underneath the bush. And they had, like, furniture in there and, like, It was the craziest thing in the world. But even they may not have had a house, but they had a home. You know, and that's it's that place that you go when you're done doing stuff. You go home. You know, when you're done and you go there, you're home. You know, it's that place where all your stuff is. Probably it's most likely the place where your family is. It's a place you crash. It's a place you put your head down to sleep. You know, it's a place where you make your top ramen and your macaroni and cheese. The place you eat your hot pockets in the morning. It's your house. It's your home. You know, and if your house is anything like my house, your house has specific rules. When you play Monopoly, maybe you don't give them $200 when they pass go. I mean, if it's your house, maybe, you know, maybe you do things differently. You know, I remember in my house, me and my brother, we used to get in fights all the time, especially when we became teenagers, over who got to use the phone. Because back in the day, we only had one phone. And one phone. We didn't have cell phones. We had beepers. And it was like the coolest thing in the world to have a beeper. It was seriously like purple and they're like, and then and if you got stuck with the big ugly black one, it's all, and if you had osteoporosis, that sucker would break a hip, you know. And it's like there's no hiding it from your teacher back in the day, you know. I mean, and you know when my girlfriend would go, it's like, you know, yeah, punching my brother, get off the phone, fool, you know. And so we had a rule that we had odds and evens. Evens were my day, odds were my brother's day. When we rented a video game, my brother got to play it first if it was an odd day. I got to play it first if it was an even. I mean, it was, my dad was like super, you know, he worked in a prison, so that's how we worked, you know. So that's the way we had house rules. Maybe it's different at your house. Maybe you just get everything because you're that awesome. That's a house rule because you're that awesome, you know, whatever it is. Now, just like these things are like your natural home, your natural house, the natural rules, it's the same thing with God's house. God's house operates a certain way. You know, God's home has certain characteristics about it. You see, you know, you can have a church that God doesn't live in, because a church isn't just a building. Just like a home isn't, maybe it's just not, it might not be just four walls that you live in. You know, I know a lot of teenagers, a lot of people who their house doesn't feel like a home because of the situations going on. You know, maybe it's not a place where they feel safe or comfortable. You know, maybe they know that this is just not really the way things should be. You know, maybe you could have a house, but it may not be a home. Same thing with God. You know, God, you know, there may be a church, but it doesn't mean that it's having church. Does that make sense? It doesn't. That's okay. Let's talk about this in a second, because that's what can happen in our house. Just like you could call yourself a Christian but not be Christian. Remember the altar call last week? That's the way it kind of works in our. That's the way it kind of works with this. See, a church, God's house, being the church, there's certain things that it is required for you to have church, for you to be in church. And it has nothing to do with whether it's a cross or a crucifix. Nothing to whether to do whether, you know, the walls have stained glass or maybe it says, you know, First Church of Redlands or the other First Church of Redlands or the other First Church of, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't make it a church just because you call it a church or it's zoned in the city a church. See, it's more than that. You know, Matthew 18, 19 through 20, if you have your Bibles, you can look at there. I just want to mention this real quick to you and move on because we don't have a lot of time, but I want to get into this. Matthew 18, it says, surely, look at verse 19, it says, Jesus said, red letter, says, again, look, guys, I'm saying, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that you ask, you're praying together, You're focusing together. You're looking at something together. If you agree on anything I ask, it'll be done by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. You could actually say, for wherever two or three are gathered in my name, capital M, Jesus, if you're gathered together with people in Jesus' name, you're right there in the midst of church, you could even say. In the midst of church is when people come together. You see, the word, that word, because, you know, there wasn't the New Testament wasn't written in English. It was written in a language called Greek. And the word church was a word called ecclesia. I mean, there's that, you know, like we pray today, there's a church in the Illinois Empire called ecclesia. Well, that word, that Greek word ecclesia, it means a gathering. It means an assembling. That word ecclesia, the word church in the Bible actually means a word. It's a word that when people would come together for one purpose, whether that purpose was like for a riot, it was for a debate. I mean, it's true. Whether they people come together for something, that's what a church, that's what that word ecclesia means. Now in the Bible, it means to come together for Jesus. And that's what it is. See, this together right now, I would assume, I would hope, I know I'm here to have church. We're here together doing something for one purpose, to praise God, to worship God, to look at the Bible, find God, to find out what God wants us to do today, tomorrow, next day. You know what I'm saying? To have God kind of take a look at us so we can take a look at us so we can take a look at him and see what us is supposed to look like as far as resembling him. You know what I'm saying? I know. It's okay. Podcast it. Thank you. We just push rewind and you listen to it a couple times. But, you know, that's what church is. That's why you can have a church building but not have church inside the church building, even though you have people in there. Because the people in there are gathered for different reasons. People are there because their parents made them come in. People are there because, or you know, you could even do this. I could be having church, and Julia could be having church. Donnie could be having church. I mean, Teresa could be having church. But you could be right next to them, and you're missing church. Even though you hear my annoying voice, and you know, even though Donnie's breathing down your neck, and even though you're in that big teal-colored chair, you could be missing church. Because you may be here, but you're not here. See, Jesus said, if two or more come together in my name, there I am in their midst. You're having church. And we have church so we can be the church. That's why you come to church. You come to church to have church to be the church. If you only come to church, then you aren't really having church. But if you come to church to be the church, then you can go out and have church. Does that make sense? Am I losing anybody here? If I am, just wave at me. Okay, cool. That's okay. Let's do this. Because I want to work with you. Okay. Anybody watch World Cup? Yeah. Did you guys see the Brazil game? You see this Korean guy, he's like crying. He doesn't even live in Korea. He lives in Japan. But anyway, you guys see the United States game? U.S. England? No. You guys see the Mexico game? U.S. South America? A lot of draws seem like lately. Who do you think is going to win? Don't say Lakers because they are not playing soccer. Look, I'm not bringing up basketball because we all know the Lakers are going to win, okay? Don't be living on this side of the United States and be going for the Celtics. Donnie, Dave, handle this. Please, handle this. No. Okay. Let's take a back step. Now, I don't want fights to break out in church, so we'll go back to the World Cup, okay? Thank you. South Africa, World Cup. South Africa, World Cup. Thank you. Refocus. There's no green. We are colorblind in this house. There's no black, no white, no red, no yellow. There is no purple nor green, okay? Colorblind. No. Now, World Cup, South Africa. You know, South Africa built like three new huge stadiums, two 40,000 seat stadiums, and I believe 180,000 seat stadium for the World Cup that's gonna last like a month. Billions of dollars for 1 month for people to come in, sit in these seats, make a lot of noise, a bunch of dudes kick a bunch of ball things around, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, then they all leave. And then for the next like 30, 40 years, these huge stadiums are gonna be there. See, all these people coming together in a building for one purpose, to play soccer. You could even say that, thank you. Thank you, Derek, I appreciate that. Yes, because you're very world ethnically inclined to know that that's football. Thank you, thank you. We do from Yucaipa, okay? Okay. So here they are. Don't get me started. No. I'm just going to have fun tonight. Look, okay, stick with me here. And they do all this stuff in one purpose, and you may not realize it, but they're having church. They're not having church like we're having church, because we're not worshiping a ball or a bunch of, you know, we're worshiping a real God, okay? But all these people pay thousands of dollars. This country spent millions and billions of dollars to build these huge buildings for this one purpose that's only going to last a month. And here they are together having this thing. People getting injured. People, I mean, it's all for this one reason. See, it's an ecclesia. It's a bunch of people gathering together to do one thing. And here we are today in church, just a few hundred of us in these rooms. Here we are to gather together in this room, not just to do it because it's what we're supposed to be doing, not because church is the thing to do, not because your mom made you. You should be in here to be for one purpose, to see God and to see what God can do in your life and to see what you can do with God's life. And if you do that, then tonight you're having church. If you're not, then don't tell people you went to church. Just tell them you sat in a chair for an hour and a half and it was like, you know, you did whatever. But if you came for that, you can tell people, I went to church. Shoot, we had church. That's what it means to be there. You see, the house of God, the Bible says is where God lives. It's where God dwells. It's where God comes and sits. You see, the house of God is where God's presence is. What did Matthew say? Matthew said this. Matthew said that if two or more come together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, God himself comes down into our place to where we're at to be with us. God's presence. I mean, look, we all know God is everywhere, but just because God is everywhere doesn't mean that you can sense God is near you. And God sees everything, God knows everything, God's everywhere. You know, I think we all know that. But just because, you know, God is there doesn't mean that you know he's there. You see, God's presence is when we can sense and we can know and we can feel that God's there. See, that's what church is. You know, Jesus said, "There I am when two or more gather in my name." After me, when you have church, that word they call ecclesia, and if you can't, if that confuses you, just think church. That's what it means to have church. You know, and back in, we're going to go Old Testament. So you guys go, if you guys have your Bibles, go way to the left side of the book. And back in the book Exodus, it's the second book of the Bible. Exodus, way over in the left side, Exodus 33, verse 8 through 10, it talks about Moses. And Moses, well, you know, this was kind of, and Moses was, and God were pretty tight. They were pretty close. The rest of the people in the area, they weren't very close to God, but Moses was. And where the people were, they were all camping out in the desert, and they were traveling around. They were like nomads, you know, traveling around, stuff like that. And when the people would settle down for a little bit, what Moses would do is Moses would go outside of the camp, and he put a little tent, and they called it the tent of meeting. Why? Because that's where God would meet with Moses. Meeting, you know, a meeting room, you know. And he would set this little tent up on the outside of the camp. And the Bible says that when he would go out to the tent, everybody in the entire camp would go out to the front porch, well, you know, the porch of their tent, and they would look and they would see what happened. And the Bible says that God, and they would see a cloud form over that tent. And it was God's presence. You know, all of a sudden, you know, it'd get a little heavy over that tent. And Moses would go in that tent. And the Bible says that there, well, let me read it to you real quick. In Exodus 33, verse 8, the Bible says this. It says, so whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, tabernacle means house of God. Tabernacle means where God dwells or lives. Remember, when you're done with whatever you do, you go home. That's where the tabernacle is. When God stays someplace, that's where he dwells, where he lives. And when God would go somewhere to live, he would come and meet Moses in this little tent. So all the people rose, and each man would stand at the tent door, and he'd watch Moses until Moses would go into that little tent, the tent of meeting. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle, the tent, God's house, that this pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord would talk with Moses. Kind of interesting. And it says, and all the people saw this pillar of cloud still standing right there at the door. And the people rose, and what did they do? They would worship God, each man at his tent. So the Lord spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. See, this is different than, because God's everywhere, and God was at these people's tents. But you see, God was there with Moses in the tent in such a way that God could talk to Moses, and Moses could feel him and sense him and hear him. And all of a sudden, Moses would talk to God and feel him and sense him and be there with him. You see, there's a difference because the people at the tent didn't have that, but Moses did. Because Moses was having church. See, Moses was in the presence of God. Because he was meeting with God in that little tent. See, it's not a building, and it's not a cross, or it's not a stained glass. It's not, you know, it's not even a song. But it's where Moses' heart was. You see, Moses went out to that tent to meet with God. I would hope that you came to this place to meet with God. And if you didn't, then next week you can. If you didn't, then right now you can. If you didn't, then Sunday you can. If you didn't, if you're old enough, Friday, you can come into this place to meet with God. And not just come into a building, but to meet God's presence. You see, you don't come to church to have a service. You come to church to have an encounter with God. See, Moses didn't go into this little tent because it was a thing to do. He went there to meet with God. And you need to meet with God. If you haven't, about time you tried. If it's been a while, then what are you waiting for? I know I'm not singing, and I know we're not playing music, but we're talking about the Word of God right now. You can meet with God right now. If you open your heart and you open your ears and you listen for Him. See, Moses didn't bring a band out there with him. Moses didn't bring any icons or pictures. All he did is he brought his heart to God. And because of that, he spoke with God face to face. See, the house of God. The house of God is where God's presence is. What did Jesus say? Where two or more, there I am in their midst, there my presence is in the middle of these people. That's what church is. That's how you know you're having church. And then all of a sudden, because when that, we prayed like that after worship today. See, where God is, there God's supply is. Look, that's at your home, that's where your stuff is. That's where your hair wax is. So you look good. That's where your curler is, your straightener. Why? I mean, if you have a straightener, why are you gonna have a curler? Don't they, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. But I mean, that's where your makeup is. That's where your Xbox is. That's where your internet connection is. Your home is where your supply. That's where you keep the apples and the oranges and the bananas. That's where you keep your socks and your underwear. That's where your stuff is. He said, "Better be at home." That's where your supply is. You see. In God's house, when God's there, God's supply is available. God's resources are available to you. And whether that resource is hope, whether that resource is encouragement, whether that resource is strength, whether that resource is the Holy Spirit, whether that resource is God's word, whether that resource is God allowing you to understand what this book really means, whether that resource is the strength for you to not fall into temptation, whatever that resource is, God's supply is wherever he is. If you just go a couple pages back in Genesis, there's a story about a dude named Jacob. And Jacob, he was traveling. He was trying to do God's thing. He was trying to live for God. And all of a sudden, he comes to this city called Luz. I don't know, Luz. Or maybe Luz. Maybe he was Mexican. I don't know. But all of a sudden, he's there in the city. And he's outside the city. And it says he used a rock as a pillow. Maybe that's not a really good way to start off the night. But he had a dream. And God brought a dream to him. And in his dream, God opened up his eyes. And it was more than just a dream. It was like a vision. It was like a vision that he saw straight from heaven. You see, God opened his eyes and spoke something into his heart. And all of a sudden, when he did, he saw things into this spirit. And he saw a ladder of all things. It says in Genesis 28, verse 11 through 19. I want to read a couple of verses to you. You see, in Genesis 28, 11 through 19, God begins to show Jacob this thing. He says, "Now he came to a certain place, stayed there all night, because the sun had set." Makes sense. "He took one of these stones in the place and put it at his head as a pillow. He laid down, put it at a place to sleep." And then it says, "Then he dreamed, and behold," these are the things he saw. The Bible says, behold. You got to behold. It says, "A ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of this ladder went all the way to the heavens. And on this ladder, the angels of God were ascending and descending. The angels are going up and down. It's almost, you know, it's almost like a conveyor belt. That's a picture I get. Angels coming up and going down the ladder. And said, and behold, the Lord stood above this ladder. There's God at the top of this ladder where the angels are going up and down. He said, I am the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. He said, the land that you're lying on, I will give to you and your descendants. And your descendants will be as many as the dust of the earth. That's a lot. A lot of dust around here. And it says, you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, the north and the south. And in you, your seed and all the family, all your descendants of the earth will be blessed. So behold, I'm with you and I'll keep you. I'll protect you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to this place. You're at this land for I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. See, God promised him and said, look, I'm not going to get out of your face until I give you the things I promised to you. I promised you land. I promised you blessing. I promised you a good, healthy, big family. I promised you that you'll never be alone. So Jacob woke up and all of a sudden he said, surely the Lord's in this place. And I didn't even know it. So I was afraid, and I said, how awesome is this place? That's right. Anyway, this is none other than what? The house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose up early in the morning, took that stone on where his head was. He set it up as a pillar, as an altar, as a remembrance. He poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of this place, this city, Bethel. Bethel is that's Hebrew for the house of God. He said, this is the house of God. See, where the house of God is, where God's presence is, there God is, bringing down his blessing to you, his supply to you, the thing that you need. The angels come down and they bring things to you. The Bible says it's open heaven, and they take up things from you, whether they take up your praise, whether they take up your problems, your cares, concerns. You see, all of a sudden, there's a supply. God says there's a supply, a distribution in the house of God. You see, where God is, catch this, where God is, whether God is with you in your classroom, whether God is with you there in your room when you're praying, whether God is with you with your friends when you're talking about the Bible, whether God is with you here in this house, wherever God is, there's a supply that goes down and goes up. He gives and he takes. Whatever you need, he can begin to give to you if you are in the position to be having church. There God is. And where God is, his supply is. See, here was God. Jacob was like, I didn't even realize God was here, but he is. And he wants to bring me the things that I need, not just the things that I want. Because look, a lot of times you don't get what you want, but God will, if you open your ears, God will bring you what you need. And he'll take the things that you don't. Depression, anger, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness. God can do that. Because where his supply is, there he is. Where he is, there his supply is. He says, this is the house of God. Where are we? In the house of God. Because we're gathered together looking for one thing, and that's Jesus. And when we do that, there Jesus is. And when his presence is here, not just because God's everywhere, but when his presence is here, when his heaviness, when you are here for this purpose, there God supplies us. And all of a sudden, then God begins to open heaven, and he begins to supply us. And that's why it's so important that we worship. When you worship and you give God your praise, you're focusing on him. And when you focus on God, not just, I'm not just sitting back. That's a song. It's another song. Why does she look like that? You ever thought that before? Why? She looks like that because she's praising God. Because there's a supply going there. Because God's speaking to her heart. That's why you look like that. Because you're missing it. No, I'm just saying. That's what happens. Is God opens the supply lines, and he can't get it to you if his presence isn't there in your heart. Healing, hope, comfort, needs being met. That's what it is. That's the presence of God. That's what the presence of God does in our lives. But see, it only comes when there's respect. See, the house of God is filled when there's respect. And the Bible calls it the fear of God. You see, the greater you respect God, the greater his presence is in your house, in your life. The greater the church fears and respects God, the greater the presence of God is in the house. See, what happens sometimes is we get so messed up and we think God's fake and God's not real, but that's because we don't respect him. Look, if somebody was up in your face, calling you names, punking you, you wouldn't want to be around them unless you were there to pound them. Am I right? I mean, seriously, somebody call you names? The only time you want to be around them is to dent their face, right? So you can go up and say, I'm going to cut you. You know what I'm saying? That's the only reason you would want to be around somebody who's disrespecting you. And I'm not saying God wants to cut you, but I am saying it's a similar with God. Look, if you're going to disrespect God in his house, he's going to leave it empty. if you're going to disrespect God in your heart, he's going to leave you empty. And if you have little respect for God, then God's able to get a little bit of himself into you. But the deeper you respect God and the deeper you fear God, the more respect you have for God in your life, the deeper he can show himself in your life. If you have little respect, you have a little bit of God. If this youth ministry, if this church has a greater reverence and respect for God, I mean, that's why these youth workers, they tap people on the shoulder and say, hey, shut up. Because they're trying to get you to understand there's something bigger than you trying to go on in this place. You know, that's why there's such an assault on who God is. That's why God said, remember, I don't know if you remember the Ten Commandments, but one of them was, do not take God's name in vain. All that means is don't take God for common. Don't treat God like he's nothing, because he's a lot more than nothing. When you do that, you strip yourself of everything God wants to do in your life. I mean, you look at, let's go back to the World Cup, because like I said, I don't want a riot to break out. But look at the world. I mean, look at the awe and the value and the respect these people. I mean, it's like this weird, it sounds like, I mean, those people on those stupid horns. Have you watched the World Series? It's like, it's like 3 hours. You know what I'm talking about? Those horns. They're blowing those stupid horns. 40,000 people blowing horns for people kicking a ball. People fly from Europe to South Africa paying thousands of dollars to watch people kick a ball. Blow a horn for 2 hours every game. You know, these people have such a greater value and respect a lot of times for soccer than we do of God when we come into church. How many of us would pay thousands of dollars to go to a church service with 40,000 people? How many of us would do these things? I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad in this place, but I'm just trying to, you know, I mean, can I check myself too? What's our respect of God? Because if we would treat God and God's house, if we would treat God's presence like this, then maybe we would see church services that are more than what we would expect. And even more than that, maybe we would walk out these doors into our lives with a greater dosage of God to provide other people with. You know, maybe we would sense and feel and experience God's supply coming down, God's presence coming down. Yeah, I just want to, you don't got to turn there because we're done. But in 1 Samuel 2, 27 through 32, if you're taking notes, write this down. But you see, there's a story about his dad. He was a priest, like a pastor. And he had these two kids that were punks. And they were robbing and they were beating the people that were coming into church. They just really were bad. I mean, could you imagine like if Donnie came up to you and said, hey,
give me your Coke.
He just drank it in front of you? Oh, would that be jacked up? It would even be more jacked up if I was like right there and said, hey, Donnie, give me some of that fool's Coke. And I went and started preaching. Would that be jacked up? That's basically what's happening at church. Now, this guy's two kids were punking people, stealing their money, and sleeping with girls in church. It was pretty jacked up. I know, hey, it's in the Bible, okay? I'm not making this up. It's just, and this whole situation was really ugly. I know. And I happens here, I'm going to kill somebody, but it's not going to happen because I got people looking out. But anyway, you know what? I just know we have greater respect for God than that. But anyway, you know, there's this church, and nothing was happening in this church because there was no respect for God. You know, the Bible says right here in verse 30, it says this, and therefore God of Israel said, indeed your house and the house of your father walked before me forever, but now be far from it from me, because those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming where I'll cut off your arm and the arm of your father. Says, yeah, God's not going to cut his arm off, like really. But he's saying that your future is ruined because you disrespect me. Everything you desire in life, I can't help you out with it because you despised me. So I can't honor you. See, in this place, if you can't honor God, if you can't have at least respect in God's house, then you're going to leave this place every time with nothing. If you come here looking for something, if you come here searching for God, if you come here with the respect that says, you know, I'm not leaving this place till I get whatever I need from God, to give to God whatever it is that I need. If you do that, then every time you'll leave full, ready to give out to other people. But it's a matter of where your heart is. See, church is not a ceremony. Church is not a building. Church is not what somebody says or a song people sing. Church is an attitude that you come into this place. I need the presence of God. And church, like I said, it's not a building, so you can take church with you. You could have church in your house. You could have church at your school. I don't care what you know, separation of church and state says. Because church isn't a building. Church is when people come together with Jesus. You have church every day at school, summer school. Everyone is an ungodly, God-forsaken place, summer school. But you could still have church at summer school. So why don't we? Why don't we? I mean, seriously. Jesus said, wherever two or more are there, there I am with them. That's God's house. God's house is where God's presence is. That's where God lives. It's where God dwells, where God stays. And also where God stays and where he lives, where he dwells, that's where his supply is. God wants to bring down to you and take up from you. And when he does that, he only does it because there's a people there that will respect him. And the deeper respect and fear we have of God, then the deeper experience we have with God. So make it your choice. Do you want to have church? Or you just want to have a building people come into? I want to have church. So if you guys have anything out of God this evening, let's give him a praise. Cool.